The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to the Acme Packing Company podcast feed. I'm Justice Mosqueda. I'm joined here by Evan Tex Western. Say what's up, people, Tex.
Oh, what's up? Man, to quote the great American philosopher Leslie Knope. Shit, what's even the quote? I can't even think of it now. It was so dumb.
We're rattled.
Everything hurts and I'm dying. That's what I was looking for. Jeez. And now my brain doesn't even work anymore. What a stupid game.
Green Bay Packers lose 24-22 to the New York Football Giants that are now 5-8. Only one game behind the Green Bay Packers in terms of the standings. The Packers are in a 5-way tie at 6-7, if I I believe,
yeah. I have that Rams, right. Seahawks, Saints, Falcons, and then the Buccaneers, I think, are also 6-7, but they're leading the AFC South or NFC South. So yeah, it's just a giant cluster at the bottom of the conference.
A short week. What the fuck did we just see? That was the sloppiest football game on both sides that I've seen in a while. That was garbage. Man, that was hot ass.
That is the quality of play you would expect to see in like a Kent State Ball State MAC game on a Wednesday night in like early middle of September or something. Just complete chaos all around, the kind of thing that you hate watch because it's football and it's on and you have nothing better to do. But when you're a fan of one of the teams, man, that's just the worst experience. I hated every second of it.
The big ones. Saquon popped on that one. He got two scores. I know he got two scores, but he popped on that really long one. But really what they couldn't stop was Tommy DeVito, who rushes for 700 in a yard or 71 yards. Felt like 700 in a yard. 158 passing, one touchdown, completed 17 of 21. A lot of those passes ended up going to Wandale Robinson, who led the team with 79 yards receiving. He also got two, auxiliary plays for 36 yards carrying. Between that, three turnovers, a missed kick, a lot of dumb penalties. That'll do it. That's what it looks like. I mean, I got asked by Giants fans all week, like, what is the Packers' loss look like, right? And I'm like, look, you're gonna have to commit to running the ball. They 209 yards rushing, two touchdowns. Packers are gonna have to do stupid stuff. Jordan Love looked rattled all game. That was easily, I think, his worst game as a passer, because the offensive line had its mistakes, certainly, and allowed some pressure, but I feel like Love got to play a pretty clean game relatively, right? Like, a lot of his mistakes were just inaccurate balls or poor decisions. Yep. So not a lot of silver linings to come out of this one. This was a shit show. Everyone should feel bad after this.
Yeah. The only silver lining is that it wasn't as bad as Miami in the other Monday night game, who blew a 14-point lead with 3 minutes left in the game as a 13.5-point favorite at home. So it could have been the Dolphins, but that's the only silver lining I got for you.
If you guys want a perspective, also, like, the two Monday night games thing sucks. I don't want cut ins to the Titans game while I'm trying to watch the Packers. Like, I don't care. Like, save that for halftime. If you want perspective for that Titans game, though, they had this graphic up afterwards. They're the first team to win down by 14 with under 3 minutes to go since 2016. The previous teams were 0-767.
Oh my God.
So that's how improbable Tennessee's comeback was.
I also heard they were the first team in NFL history to win in regulation down by 14 with less than 3 minutes to go. Because teams don't obviously do didn't do the go for two thing until just recently. So
insane.
That's a win probability chart that is just going to eat at Dolphins fans forever, especially if it ends up costing them the one seed in the AFC.
Yep. We got to talk about it, right? Joe Barry. Feel like that's the big, I mean, outside of Love making his mistakes, which I feel like at this point we're like, okay, he had a hot streak. Let's monitor how consistent that can be moving forward. But he's a first year starter. Stuff will happen. Joe Barry is not a guy who's first year on the job. This was another punch to the dick. We were talking at halftime and I was like, hey, one of the good things about the situation is that we aren't just conceding inside run and just giving up a bunch of rushing yards.
Lo and behold.
And I know a lot of that, Wandale Robinson gets 32 on an end around. Tommy DeVito gets 71 yards on scrambles. Still rushing yards, still show similar issues to what we've seen in the past, right? We've somehow done the magic thing of not being able to really rush the passer, at least in terms of being able to get Tommy DeVito down in this game. Mind you, this Giants team, I think Matt LaFleur cited a stat that said the Giants offense had gotten sacked 69 times this year already.
DeVito had been sacked at least 5 times in each of the last 4 games.
Yeah.
And Packers couldn't get to him once. They only had two quarterback hits in the entire game. Gary had the 2 hits for the entire pass rush. Just could not get him on the ground. We talked about that at halftime too, that in the first half, that was a problem. And this, for this defensive front to get pushed around by the Giants offense, makeshift offensive line, missing, a bunch of guys, completely unacceptable.
And not only were they not able to get penetration, but they also weren't able to set the edge, which is why Tommy DeVito was able to run out of a lot of those sack attempts.
Yep.
That stinks. And I don't think that's going to get better with Gary. That's just kind of who Gary is. He's got tight hips. He's a power rusher. He's very good as a power rusher. But to have everyone miss is crazy. Even TJ Slayton obviously jumped the snap on one of these run plays, ends up in the backfield like a damn Madden animation. And he's 2 yards in the backfield, doesn't come down with the play. They end up getting a first down. Stinks. That stinks.
And just so many stupid, weird situations, right? The Keyshawn Nixon play on the fumble or on the punt, where he muffs the punt, falls on it, then decides, hey, this is going to be a great idea to get up and try to do something with it, and then just gets it punched out right away. Plays like that, they went both ways, though. And that's the thing, is Packers had their chances, right? You had the Packers got a muff punt, two series later?
The Saquon fumble.
Where it hit the gunner in the shoulder. And then the Saquon fumble. They had every opportunity to win this game. And if they don't, if the Packers make one fewer mistake in some of those situations, they win this game. If Anders Carlson goes 4 for 4 instead of 3 for 4 and doesn't miss a 45-yard field goal, Packers score that touchdown and they go up by 5 instead of being up by 1 and trying to go up by 3 with a 2-point conversion. Then the Giants actually need to get in the end zone and score a touchdown to win that game instead of just kicking a field goal. So you can point the finger at any number of different places, and that's what it was going to take for the Packers to lose this game, was fault in several different areas that you can point to that all kind of compounded and ended up leading to the loss.
Bad game. Back to Barry. thought there were a couple times for sure at the end of the game, the last couple drives, that you could point to clear fault of his. Those stuff like, I don't know if it was untouched, but there was that rushing touchdown at the goal line where the entire edge just gets caved in. That's not a Barry problem, right? That's a situation where players just lose a block, end up on the ground, and create a pile behind them, and there's no way anyone can place over top of it. What is a Barry problem is when the Giants are clearly trying to run the piss out of the ball, and you just stay in nickel the entire time, which doesn't really work for stopping the run unless you're going to have a drop-down safety.
Hey, you remember when Troy Aikman said during the game that Joe Barry likes to bring him another man down in the box to stop the run? Because I remember that in the first half. Yeah. I don't know what Troy Aikman is talking about, but this is a guy who loves to play in nickel no matter what the situation is, and no matter who the quarterback is and what the offensive philosophy of the team is that he's playing against.
It didn't make sense to me, especially at the end. I don't know if Wyatt's injury impacted that, if they thought, hey, we're going to be, you know, on a pitch count with one of our defensive linemen, so we don't want to play three guys on the interior and jam up the front. But they weren't playing aggressive enough there, period, point blank, period. Everyone knew that there was going to be runs, right? It's not like they were going to put the game on Tommy DeVito's shoulders. Like, he had one, so Wandale Robinson had a 32-yard gain. That might have been the only pass that was over 15 all game.
That sounds about right. Yeah, and that was the one on the final drive where Wandale got wide open on a crosser and found him right in stride for that big gain that got him right into field goal range.
Yeah, so extremely disappointing there. The other thing too is Quay Walker wasn't in the game. He was out. Isaiah McDuffie replaces him in the lineup. Penny could have alleviated some of that. If you would have just played Campbell as the lone inside linebacker and then had that 3-4 front up in front of him, you could have stayed with a nickel on the field and jammed up the interior. That's what we were asking Joe Barry to do against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's something that he's done in the past, and he's just gotten away from it. And it's weird because it seems like it's like the Packers are one of the few teams in the NFL that actually has this tool, right? Like, it's very much like a Fangio tree type of thing. So you'll see like Staley run it and stuff like that. But you're not seeing a whole ton of Penny across the league. They have this tool, but they seemingly have no idea when to use it. And for the people who are like, you know, Joe Barry is a Rod Marinelli guy who's just kind of being forced to run a Vic Fangio type of defense, right? I mean, that's a data point for you to say, like, he doesn't actually know how to do this stuff, right? And that's concerning. The other thing that really frustrated me, that they have a minute left to drive, and we're basically functionally playing prevent defense. All they needed was a field goal, and they had, I think, two timeouts at that point.
Two timeouts.
That's not aggressive. You have to play defense at that spot. You're not playing... Yep. You're not playing field position. You don't care about that.
They had enough time. They could have run the ball if they wanted to a little bit there on that ending drive. They can attack the middle of the field. They can. It's so frustrating.
Because the defense did bail out the offense for a good period of time. Like, all those turnovers and stuff, the defense was being put in a pretty bad position. And the Giants had a missed field goal too. That also impacted this game. I don't know. You know, it could have been tied at the half and stuff like that. Giants wouldn't have needed that last drive if they would have connected on that field goal, which I think was shorter than Anders Carlson's. But at the end of the game, it just looked like they had no idea what game they were playing. Like, the AI was bad. It didn't know play calling. Like, I don't know. I'm still hesitant to think that Barry is going to get fired. Also, by the way, I'm getting hit with a bunch of people on Twitter that think all my Joe Barry stuff is serious. I don't think he's good. I'm critical of Joe Barry when I feel like I need to be critical of him. Like, the end of game stuff was bad. Before that, the defense was bailing him out. The pass rush didn't get home. That's the game that we saw. Like, I don't think you can argue with those facts. But like, I'm still hesitant to think that the Packers will move on from Barrett just because like Matt handcuffed himself to him for, you know, over multiple press conferences. So I don't know, like, who's.
Again,
something
we
would
talked
have to
the
blow
last,
up.
Yeah, these last couple of weeks, we've said that this is what to expect. He's probably here again next year, unless this defense completely unravels down the stretch. If we continue to see this and they, you know, they lose a couple more of these games that they should be winning, well, then maybe we can have that conversation. But, you know, one game in this instance, unfortunately, or fortunately for Joe, is not going to be enough on its own to cause LaFleur to fire the guy. I'm certain of that.
So I'm playing around with the Packers playoff machine, or the New York Times playoff machine, sorry. We're still in that same position where two losses in the final five games is where you get to 50-50, right? And that's kind of what the Packers are projected to be now that they have this loss in hand. So they've dropped down to a 50% chance to make the playoffs on the New York Times machine. If they win three of the next four, it's about 50-50. If they win out, they're going to make it in. Obviously, they're still holding the seventh seed because they have the tiebreaker over the Rams. I don't know if there's a situation where if more teams get involved, the tiebreakers go further down and then someone else jumps them. I don't know. I'm not that versed on the tiebreaker situations in the NFC right now, just because there's so many teams involved that I don't think it's really worth the time to look at that until like the final last probably 2 weeks of the season. I looked at the NFC North tiebreakers and it basically ended up being the Packers had to get plus two on the Lions in terms of their overall record over, you know, these next, I guess, plus three. I have to check again. Over the last couple of weeks. And then the only way that the Packers can get the tiebreaker over the Lions is with head-to-head division wins. So the Packers would need to beat the Vikings and Bears and have the Lions drop one of their games against the Vikings. They still have to play the Vikings twice for the, you know, the remainder of the season. So that's probably not super likely, right? Like the New York Times playoff machine gives that a 2% chance right now. I would stop thinking about the NFC North, especially after this loss. As far as the wild card, though, what you're rooting for is at least three wins in the next four games, and that's really what matters.
Yeah, I mean, you've got, like I said, you've got the Rams, Seahawks, both NFC West teams.
The Seahawks have Eagles this week, and they've lost like five of their last six. Like, they're sinking like a rock right now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing this week that helped the Packers, in, at least in their overall playoff chances, was that Rams overtime loss to the Ravens. That punt return in overtime, cashing that one. So that was a big help. And that's what's keeping Green Bay in the seventh seed as of right now with this loss tonight. So, the fact that they've got those wins in hand over the Rams and the Saints is really big. And kind of the way that it kind of shakes out, at least right now, as I understand it, is those three teams are the ones that you're looking at, because the Rams have a division tiebreaker over the Seahawks. The Saints have a division tiebreaker over the Falcons. So then they move up to a three-way tiebreaker with the Packers, who have head-to-head wins over both of those. So for now, that's where it stands. But like you said, I mean, so many different scenarios, how, you know, can end up shaking out over these last 4 weeks. And so, you know, we'll probably worth revisiting those like 2 weeks down the line. You know, once we kind of know where we're at with two games to go.
Yeah. And this week is tricky, because I'm looking at, again, New York Times, they got all the percentage changes and stuff like that. So these are games that will swing the Packers playoff leverage. So the difference between a win and a loss by at least 2%, right? If the Bengals beat the Vikings, that's pretty obvious. If the Browns beat the Bears, which the Bears are somehow still hanging around vaguely in the playoff race. If the Panthers beat the Falcons, I don't think that's going to happen. If the Commanders beat the Rams, I don't think that's going to happen. Or if the Eagles beat the Seahawks, which is, I think, is pretty probable. Unless there's like some upset of Rams, Falcons, Bears, Vikings, I mean, really what you're watching is just making sure the Eagles take care of business against the Seahawks this week in terms of the watch list.
Yep.
People are saying we overreacted to Jordan Love. I don't know if we
did.
He played really
that.
good football. He played like shit today. Not bad. Oh, Dontavian Wicks in the locker room says his ankle is, quote, fucked up and that they think it's a high ankle injury. Damn.
Oh, no. That's no good.
Didn't someone, like, leave with a concussion, too? I think like, Jaden Reed left super
Reed,
late.
Yeah, he left right at the end of the game with a concussion eval. You're right.
Good God. Malik Heath, buckle up the chin strap, dude, because I don't
ready.
know how many more wide receivers we have.
We're going to see a lot of Malik Heath. We saw a lot more Samori Toure than I was expecting tonight.
We did. We saw him.
I was expecting
throwing
to get
a
a
ball
lot more.
Against the best DB for the Giants had, and I don't know why they gave him that contested opportunity.
I was shocked that it took until Wicks left the game for Heath to start getting him more opportunities. I thought for sure he was going to be the next guy up instead of Toure in this game, and that was not the case. So. Here we are, but yeah, Malik's gonna get some run here these next couple weeks, I guess, because that doesn't sound good for Wicks. I guess hopefully Watson can come back with a hammy, but again, who knows with his hammies what's how long that's gonna be.
I mean, at this point, I don't know what you do. I mean, and then Watson had like the chest back, everything injury, right?
Yep.
Chest back ribs or whatever too. Earlier this season, so he's what, on his third injury now. I don't know if you can trust him to stay healthy, especially with the history of hamstring issues and it already being, you know, re-aggravated this year. Where are we at on Rashid Walker being the guy, being the left tackle of the future? Because I'm back on, I need to watch college tackle prospects after this game. He did not play well. I know Tom was a guy who was matched up against Thibodeau for most of the game, but Walker was not playing great.
I have never been on the Rashid Walker is the left tackle of the future train, for whatever that's worth. So, yeah, I see no reason to hop on at this point.
Yeah, this was not the game to do it. Runyon got his ass beat pretty bad. I think it was a Love sack or interception. Both Walker and Runyon ended up on the ground. Just on their asses. Not good. I mean, we're used to a much better offensive line, and for a while it looked decent, but this game, it wasn't great. And the Giants aren't a great team in terms of pressure. I mean, Lawrence is good, but Thibodeau is a guy who, remember when Vic Beasley led the NFL in sacks that one year, and then he kind of like flamed out? I'm not sure what the future holds for Thibodeau, so I'm not like making a projection here. But like statistically, the seasons are very similar where it's like this guy's getting no pressures, but he's just like ending up around the ball and getting a bunch of cleanup sacks. Like that's what the Thibodeau season has been.
It's the Kyler Fackrell like 9 or 10 sack season all over again.
Still runner.
RIP my mentions for bringing that one up.
Oh, man. Just no pressure on defense, man. That stinks. Kenny Clark could have been a complete non. I have no idea if Kenny Clark was even on the field. Why I know was on the field only because he got hurt. Slayton had that one weird play. Outside of that, man, like they weren't doing much against this, again, patched up offensive line that was already on a team that was playing poorly up front. So that's super disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah, that sucks. Vibe checks are going to be bad tonight.
It's going to be atrocious. Savage returned. I didn't like what I saw.
He got juked out of his cleats a couple times. Tommy DeVito juked him out of his jock strap at one point.
Yeah, I don't like what I saw from Savage today. Then he got hurt, and then Owens came in for him for a little bit, but that was weird. Reedy Ford had the dumb penalty on special teams.
On the punt, yeah.
Just everyone played like a dickhead today. Keyshawn probably should have gotten flagged for hitting DeVito on the slide and then immediately muffed the punt. Like every defensive back outside of Probably Carrington just acted like a dickhead all day.
Well, and he almost had one where he made a play up along the sideline and was about to get. I mean, he was starting to get in the receiver's face, and Owens came over and was like pulling him back, and yeah. And telling him not to taunt the guy. So he was about ready to get a flag for that one too. Man,
so just a bad game overall. Mm-hmm. And again, this is one of those like whenever that graphic pops up and it's like the average age of the starter on the Packers is 25.1, right? Like, you got to know you're in store for some of these games. I was hoping that we would never lose again and we would win 15 straight Super Bowls with Jordan Love, but alas, apparently that is not what is in store for us. I don't know what Packers fans want with Joe Barry. I guess I do, but I don't know.
Oh, you know what they want.
They want to fire him.
You know what they want.
They want to fire him. And he fucked up at the end of this game. Like, I've fully, like, no question. They shouldn't have been playing nickel that late. They should have played real defense on that last drive. He messed up. And that's something that, like, he basically was, like, born and bred, like, raised in the like NFL or college football, like, high-level college football coaching. Like, I know he had a stint at USC. Like, he shouldn't be making these mistakes anymore. I just don't know how you get Matt LaFleur there. I don't know how you do it. And
yep.
You're not going to can Matt, so you're not going to can Joe. And they've handcuffed each other. They're handcuffed to each other. I don't know what to tell you.
Get used to it.
Matt's press conference, by the way, he's clearly very mad, and he almost he fought with a microphone for a little bit, and I think it was like the shortest presser he's ever had. It was like 4 minutes. I didn't catch Love's because I didn't.
Yikes!
I don't need to hear from Love today. I've seen enough.
Yeah.
Only thing I
saw from Love was that he basically said I was way too late on the throw that I got picked.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's about right.
Which one? That could have been either one of those, I guess. The interception up the left sideline against cover one, and he
that
just
was
left
the one.
Safety. Like, horrible decision, horrible ball. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
And it was late, and yeah, just.
Dude, I don't know what got into him.
He had
him today.
So many throws tonight that wobbled. Yeah.
I mean, he missed the screen before the half, like just weird stuff. I don't know what was going on with him. He looked jittery from like snap one. I don't know if it's because he was game planning for all sorts of pressures and stuff. The Giants didn't send a whole lot of like all out pressure looks. Like they get into the mug front stuff where it looks like six are coming, but they end up dropping out of it. There weren't a lot of free rushers in this game, right? Like it's not like he was getting dropped to the ground and then it was like, oh, he's rattled because he's worried about getting hit again. It wasn't like one of those games. Like if there was pressure, it was because he was anticipating ghosts, I guess, right? So I don't know if you can reel that back in. I'm surprised that he had this type of a game against this type of a defense after playing Flores and after playing Spagnuolo. I know they're kind of different type of guys. I know Flores is a little bit closer to Wink than Spagnuolo is, but you would think that he'd be ready for this game. And I don't know. I don't know if they got caught looking ahead to Tampa. I know Matt said that he didn't want to mention it in the presser, but like that extra day they ended up using to look forward to the Tampa game at the start of the week so that they could have some early game planning stuff in, and then they could focus on the Giants for the rest of the week. Don't know if that kind of like messaging like seeps in to the locker room where they're looking at this and they're like, Tommy DeVito, we're obviously going to beat Tommy DeVito. But it's not great. Why are my friends calling me? I don't want to talk to you after a Packers loss. Shit game. And my cat's here. Oh my God. I'm getting attacked on all angles. that's a hint for us to take a break and go into vibe checks.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
And we're back. All right, offensive side of the ball, -1,000. I cannot believe we looked this sloppy again. Really, to me, it's on the offensive line and quarterback. You know, Tucker Kraft did what he needed to do. DeGuara played half decent. AJ Dillon, like, not his worst game easily. Patrick Taylor, probably his best game. The wide receivers did fine, I thought, outside of like the Reed mismanaging the ball in the corner of the end zone thing, which, like, that's going to happen sometimes.
Yeah, I'll have a bone to pick with the way they were using Jordan Reed and just his overall efficiency. I mean, 10 targets, 8 catches, and 27 yards in the passing game. I know a couple of those were the pop pass, jet sweep things that just didn't really work out so well. And he had a couple decent runs on actual jet sweeps. So, but still, I think it ended up being something like 14 targets plus carries for like 65 yards, which not a good efficiency from your wide receiver.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's because – so, like, that's the weird thing that I don't understand about this offense. Like, how much of that can you check into at the line of scrimmage, right? And, like, I know Aaron had a lot of complaints about that type of stuff. But if they have six guys walked up to the line of scrimmage, isn't that when you want to call the jet play and all you have to do is get a chip on that edge player? And now, you know, those guys are on tail end of the snake. They can't be involved, but can you get to the line of scrimmage? They're not in a mug look and you get out of it. I don't know. That's something that I don't know how their mechanics work, how much they're willing to put on Jordan Love's play. I don't even really know, how much of the protection stuff Love is doing at this point. I know he's checking sometimes, but I don't know if he's like actually running, you know, doing mic points and stuff like that, or when there's safety rotations, he's handling that.
The only one I remember seeing was there was one where McKinney, who was shown blitz off the right tackle side, and he adjusted the protection to get Dillon over to that side to pick up the blitz. And I think that ended up being like a first down completion to, maybe it was to Wicks or somebody. So I know there's some of that, but yeah, I don't know that he's, I don't think he's doing that on every play, at least not responsible for it 100% of the time.
We asked Matt run the plays to Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks until they cannot be run anymore. And just like limit test. We limit tested on the Jaden Reed, like perimeter plays. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
They know it's coming. They tried the end around or the end around reverse one time, and that ended up getting blown up in the backfield too. So, yeah, unless you have a lot of stuff built off of it, like, you can't just run it freely anymore. It's known. It's known. Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Oh boy.
Yep.
Man, if we're really out Watson, Reed, Wicks on a short week, that's going to be brutal. Defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, big.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, just Tucker Kraft is going to have to play a bigger role, I think, this next week if as a receiver, if that's going to be how we're looking at this game. I mean, again, him and Heath are going to be asked to step up big time.
Yeah. Defense. I'm going to give him like a, if we're including Joe Barry in this, I'm going to give him like a 3. Because they did overcome a lot in this game, just in terms of field position and not allowing points and all the bend don't break stuff that people hate. hearing, because then they point to that and they're like, yeah, but the other shoe's going to drop. And then, you know, it kind of did in the second half for the Packers. Some guys made some plays. Some guys completely disappeared. The no pass rush absolutely gutted us. Every DB having something stupid happening to them absolutely gutted us. Joe Barry messing up the entire fourth quarter absolutely gutted us. So I'm going to give it a 3.
I was about ready to say a 2, just given all of that. And just the fact that, again, there was absolutely no pass rush against a team that has been just leaking like a sieve on the offensive line in the last month. Just unacceptable. Let me ask you this. I don't know if the Giants did come in off a bye week, so they had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. I don't know how much that plays into this. I mean, they made their share of mistakes in this game too. It was by no means a clean game on both sides. So I don't know that really, you know, made that
much of a
difference.
That's why I lean against that is like just between that and the DeVito scrambles. I'm like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Does Russ really help with that? That's just guys playing ball in the backyard kind of.
Yep. Yeah.
Special teams. I'm going to go like a 2 on special teams. Carlson could have missed more, but he only missed one. We had a bluff punt and a bunch of penalties. Like, that's about as bad as it can get. Carlson, he snuck 2 of the 3 that he made in. Mm-hmm. I was worried about it. So, like, when he missed the 3rd one, I was like, you know, we're kind of due for that at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I mean, basically everything that could go wrong did go wrong. I'm still salty about the penalty that Anthony Johnson Jr. got early on when he got called for a blindside block. Yeah. When the guy he was blocking literally turned his head and looked him in the eye and then ducked his head to protect himself against that block. So that was fun. But everything else was, fully self-inflicted and those mistakes were well earned.
Yeah. Rudy, chill. Chill, Rudy, chill. You didn't need to do that.
God.
Yeah, so what are we looking for? Just hoping the Buccaneers trip on their dick this week and Eric Stokes is probably coming back. Like, that's the bright side.
Yeah, I mean, Tampa's got some injury issues on defense. I think Vita Vea missed last week. I think there was talk about Jamel Dean and Devin White both potentially missing Sunday's game. So, I mean, if those 3 guys are out, that's maybe their best player at each of the 3 levels of their defense. So that may, I don't know, maybe that's a chance for this offense to kind of get back on track a little bit. And it's at home in December against a team from Florida. So
yeah,
that's always a nice thing.
Hopefully they'll be prepared for this defense too, because Bowles runs something pretty similar to what Wink does. I know he does it a little bit more from depth than what Wink does, but, like, you know, you're going to get slot blitzes and all sorts of weird, you know, fire zones and stuff like that in that game too. So maybe seeing it back-to-back weeks is going to help, but I would have thought seeing some of that stuff against Kansas City was going to help.
Yep.
Injury report's going to be huge. You know,
maybe Aaron
Stokes
Jones
is
back.
Maybe Aaron Jones back. Yeah. Maybe Jair back. Jair's been a guy who's been able to be limited in practice. Stokes is a guy who I think he's been a full participant in practice, but they just didn't decide to bring him up. I don't know if that's because they're trying to save just roster spots for practice squad guys. They only brought one guy up from the practice squad in this game, and that was Drake, the running back.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other guy I'm going to be watching closely on the injury report is Reed. You know, whether or not he's actually got a concussion and he's in the protocol. Again, on a short week, if he does have one, that's going to be tough for him to get back out there by Sunday.
Yeah. What do we think about the Jair stuff? Let's end on that. do Packers fans not know who Jair is? Like, he's just a weird dude, man. He marches to the beat of his own drum. So what we're talking about is he has a locker room availability, I think, on Friday. or it might have been Saturday with how the schedule worked out, where he's there wearing shades, two different wrestling belts, one that has his face on it, and tells the media, like, I'm just going to lie to you guys anyway. And then they start asking him questions about his injury, and he's like, I want to play, which is also like what Matt LaFleur is saying. And for some reason, that got blown up. He's just a weird dude, man. I would not.
Yeah. Like, don't get too hung up on what he says. Yeah.
Yeah. I technically have a degree in communications. So I'm supposed to know all this like body language type of stuff. Dude, I have no handle at Jair. That dude is, he's not built like the rest of us, man. Like, he did the whole thing where he stays in Green Bay until OTA start. And then he leaves because people are in town. Like, he doesn't really want to be around people. Like, I'm not surprised that he's like weird with the media. And I don't think it's like combative or nefarious or like anything negative. I just think he's just like an odd dude, which, like, again, not a bad thing. But the people who are like, yeah, he's done playing, like, he doesn't want to play, all that, like, guys, he's got a busted shoulder. He's played through like two different, he played through a busted back and a bum shoulder already this season. Like, he's played through injuries. What the fuck are we doing here? I don't get it.
Yeah. No.
I don't get it. Injury reports gonna be big this week.
Yep.
Keep tuned into that. We're gonna have an expedited week. They're probably not even gonna practice
We'll practice on Wednesday.
They'll probably do a walkthrough and they'll have like an estimation and stuff. So you're probably actually not going to get real deal injury news until probably Thursday would be my guess. I would look out for, you know, Stokes coming off of IR though, or Aaron Jones even being able to participate in that walkthrough, stuff like that on Wednesday. But keep it tuned to the feed. We'll have all news on here. If the Packers release Jair Alexander, we'll let you know. If they fire Joe Barry, we'll let you know. I think both moves are pretty unlikely this season, but
yeah,
we'll keep you up to date. And hopefully we do better against the Buccaneers this weekend.
Yeah, let's hope so. This is a real letdown after the last couple of weeks. So need a nice bounce back. Hopefully a little home cooking. Maybe some nice, you know, 25-degree Packers weather, quad timer. We didn't even talk about the fact that this is the first loss in December under Matt LaFleur.
True. I didn't even think about that.
I don't know. So that's a bummer. I think maybe we got a little too hung up on that last week after the win over the Chiefs. So
we also didn't mention Tommy DeVito's agent, who was shown entirely too much God. During that game. He looks like a Magic the Gathering.
Take your hat
champion.
Off. Take your damn hat off, dude.
I went on his Twitter account. There's multiple the only photos of him in a suit or him in that same pinstripe suit. He's got one suit, and it's the pinstripe suit. It's insane.
That checks out.
It's nuts.
That's surprising at all.
He's just got to be seeing dollar signs. This story is insane. I cannot believe we lost to Tommy fucking DeVito. Tommy Cutlets, dude. Yeah. Lost to Tommy Cutlets. If this is how we miss the playoffs, we deserve it. We deserve it.
Oh my God.
We couldn't beat this team. This team was talking about number one pick. Like,
I'm not ready to think about
it. All right.
I'm not ready to think about that. There's still four winnable games left to go. So let's go out. Let's win these last four. Let's get in and see if we can make a little noise.
We got to do it. We got to beat the Bucks this week. Then we get the Panthers. Yep. Two rolling. We get Nick Mullins, the Vikings' fourth quarterback of the season. Then it all comes down to the Bears game. Maybe. So, yeah. Sign up for that reality.
Make it happen, guys.
Stay tuned to the feed. We'll keep you updated. Go to the site. Maybe click on some ads. I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you to click on ads, but I just said it there. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.